goals and dreams are great, but how are you prioritizing them? That's what causes problems. If you don't have your priorities in place, you're going to be executing on the wrong things. You're going to be wasting energy and time.
You're listening to the Blacktop Banter Podcast, the premier podcast in the asphalt industry, made for contractors with contractors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Blacktop Banter. Looks a little different. I am remote and on location rather than in the studio back in Wisconsin, but we make do with what we have and make sure we deliver on it. I have a wonderful guest today. Was blessed to be able to hear this guy speak in Houston at Dirt World Summit. JP Donnell is Chief Training Officer at Echelon Front. He brings a unique perspective into the winning mindset and culture of Task Unit Bruiser from SEAL Team 3. He communicates combat experiences to help provide high-impact lessons learned and instruct with direct application while helping Echelon Front to teach others how to build their own high-performance winning teams and dominate their battlefields. It was really cool to see these guys do the FTX training. I think that's right. Yeah. I think I'm saying that right. Yeah. Down there with the BuildWit crew. A lot of those guys are my friends, and they really, really enjoyed it. So I wanted to get JP on here. We had a little bit of connection issues being as we're on other opposite ends of the country. I think that's an understatement. JP wanted to make sure I wasn't a hacker, I believe.
No. That was not the case. I thought when I was like, oh, I got to reset all this stuff, when everything went black, like literally, I've never had that happen. Like I've reset stuff multiple times. Everything went black, shut down. I was like, well, that sucks. And yeah. I think the reason why my mind went there right away, bud, is because yesterday I had a buddy in town, and I interviewed him on my podcast, and then we went to the gun range. He created this new technology that's incredible. We can get into later. Cliff Notes version. If you listen to my podcast, you'll learn more about it, bud. But he freaking created technology that he can put on any type of weapon system, like an AR platform that allows you to track a drone and shoot a drone out of the sky with your AR for security reasons.
Get out.
Yeah, it's incredible. So prisons, and then our border patrol and our military. Like literally, I could put his system on an AR, and let's say you're not very comfortable shooting an AR, you just get on the drone, hold this button down, it tracks on it, it makes all the calculations needs, it makes the adjustment on the buttstock, and then as you're pulling the trigger, you're freaking gonna hit that drone, bud.
I got a question for you, JP. We were talking a little bit before we got on the air. I was telling you that I was enjoying some meat from Little Cattle Co. And I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. But that's an old school thing, right? Cutting beef up, raising cattle, that's an old school thing. What you're just talking about is technology. How are you swallowing this? Because in the last year and a half, like AI technology is like integrating into everything we do. We were talking about crypto a little bit beforehand too.
Yeah.
We both obviously know the benefits and that we're going that way.
We are.
There's part of me that's like, is it too much?
Well, it can be too much, right? And one day it will be too much. But here's the deal. None of us know when that's going to be. Like none of us. And, you know, I'm thankful for guys like Joel that I had in town. And that's why I went that way, is because he created that, because literally his whole life he's been a hacker. That's literally his job, is he's built companies to create systems to protect companies. And also he has helped our nation set up stuff to protect and then also hack in and do stuff. I mean, he has this, he's telling me on the podcast, he has this thing called the Black Card, and there's this big hacker convention in Vegas every year, and he's won it multiple times, and then he hosts stuff there. And so he just walks around, he has this card that literally, it gets him free access to the whole thing, and he's like, he's the man there, right? Like, he is the guy. And I'm like, you're one of the scariest people I've ever been here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he's a buddy of mine. Like, I know him, but he's also like, he's a big jack dude. He's an athlete. He wrestles, does jiu-jitsu. And, he is also one of the smartest guys I've ever, like literally smartest guy I've ever had the chance to sit and talk with. My podcast host, Lucas, was like, we got done with that. And he goes, I've been doing this for a long time. I've interviewed a lot of people. That was unreal. And like Lucas is still mind blown about it. And so to answer your question, we're going that way. It's going to happen. And it's like what you and I have, you know, talked about a little bit before. And, you know, when you look at it from a leadership aspect, One of the things that we teach at Echelon Front is innovate and adapt. And whether you like it or not, the industries are going to change. They're going to evolve. And we need people like Joel that are forward thinking. I mean, he came out to one of our FTXs and he did two of them. And then he had us come do it for his previous company that he was working with. And then we let him be a role player because he wanted to be a role player. We're like, yeah, absolutely. You can go run with these guys. And I partnered him up with my buddy Jesse, who's a former Green Beret, full-time Denver SWAT guy. And so, yeah, I mean, and so now Joel's like, they're running around and Jesse's kind of teaching them some stuff. And Joel's kind of like thinking. And literally from that conversation with Jesse out in the woods about like having to take hard shots against barricaded shooters. And, you know, sometimes just like it's hard, like even though you think you're making the right corrections, you just, you know, the environment can change and all these things. And Joel was sitting there. He goes, I mean, we have these things in these other areas, why can't we do this on a rifle? And he's in the middle of the woods as a role player thinking about this, talks to Jesse more, literally thinks about it, pitches it to Jesse and I. He's like, is that something that you guys would use if you can make corrections? And we're like, well, yeah, but it couldn't be super heavy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm thinking like, bro, what are we adding like a big a laptop to my computer? laptop computer to my gun. And so we're like, he's talking through this stuff. And dude, like, it's unreal. I shot it yesterday and, you know, he just literally took out the buttstock on his other rifle, put this buttstock on, put the computer and sensor on the front of the gun, connected the two, sighted it in, and we're good to go, man.
It was a digital readout that showed it, or how did it track it so that it knew what to do? Like, what was the readout that you guys
nothing had? I didn't even get a readout. I'm looking through the EOTech optic, putting the optic on the target, and I don't move a lot when I shoot because I'm pretty experienced in shooting AR, right? But these other guys who are demoing there, he has some investors there to demo, and they're all nervous and scared, and so they're all moving, right? Well, the gun literally is moving, the buttstock literally moves and shifts and adapts to make it to where that optic doesn't take off target. So you might be moving like this, but what needs to happen, stay in it. And I literally was like, boom, 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 boom. Boom. Damn. Not super fast, but that we consider that rapid fire. And so with a rifle at 21 yards going boom, 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 all five of my shots were touching and keyholing each other, bro.
Dang, dude. You know what that reminds me of?
It was a grouping that guys would be happy when sighting in their rifle from a prone position. And it was me standing just going boom, boom, boom.
Dang. And you know, like, yeah, we made it for track and drone. But you know as well as I do, it leaves that category pretty quick if it's that tight.
Well, it does, but however, he's like, no, we have things put in place that is only gonna be for defense purposes. He goes, an individual's not gonna be able to buy this for hunting or anything else like this. So these guys were shooting these other things. And I zoomed in. I'm gonna pull up on the screen. I have a little red circle around it. This is my 5-round group.
Oh my god! Oh my god, dude! That's insane.
You
know, at one point, I say this about me, especially in business. At one point, I was able to outwork my ignorance. Like, I never was real super software guy, tech savvy, all that stuff. But I promise you, I could outwork anybody in the field when we were doing asphalt work.
Bro, same.
And for a while, that worked good.
Yes.
Right? I could do that. But I did notice that guys that were at their computer putting logistics together, putting route density together, understanding all that type of stuff, were working as good as I was, and they weren't having to actually grunt it out. They weren't sweating, right? So I realized, like, dude, if you create a hybrid, you almost have to, because guys like your friend Joel, the guy's jacked, he's disciplined, he's also tech savvy while he's out there, he's forward thinking. Like, these are the studs. Like, those are going to be the studs that win. So for us, like you were talking about, adapt and innovate, like, we have to. You have to.
You have to. And I love that you said that, because I've always been very similar to that. And I've always felt like, man, I'll just outwork anybody, which for the most part is true.
Yeah.
However, if you're only thinking about working hard but not working smart, and that's one thing I learned from the SEAL teams, is like, hey, man, because I had some really good leaders in the SEAL teams. When I say leaders, not like these official leadership titles, but as you know, we've talked about, like, leadership isn't a title. Your title doesn't make you a leader. It's your ability to influence the people around you, right? And so, anyways, I had good guys that were in my platoon that would teach me, like, because they knew I was a hard worker. I mean, bro, I working for my dad, growing up with my parents, they instilled into us that hard work ethic. And I mean, and that's one of the things that I'm pretty sure I said that at Dirt World when I was speaking.
You did.
Hey, you don't go in this industry looking for easy work. You're hardworking Americans that want to make a difference. You want to make, you like the work. You like the hard work, man. The smell of fresh cut lumber or, you know, concrete when it's being mixed up or, you know, paint or drywall. I mean, whatever. You know all the different smells. And in your world, you know what I'm talking about. You
smell
the blacktop and you're just like, let's go, man.
Yes, immediately.
Because it's ingrained into who you are and it associates you, your sensory system is incredible. The way God designed us is incredible. And so it brings you back to those core memories of good times of working hard. And it's good to be out there working hard and sweating and doing that. And that's how work gets done in your world, in the world of construction. You're always going to need boots on the ground and hands, right? And thinkers, the human mind.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that Joel and I were talking about is he's like, hey, man, this is just making the human better and safer, more efficient. He's like, we're not trying to replace humans. He goes, the drone threat is a very real thing.
And
he goes, my company is going to end it. And I was like, oh, bro, let's go. Ooh. I mean, yeah, I did. He's just like, and I believe him. I felt like I was sitting next to Tony Stark's, man. I'm not exaggerating. Like, it was.
Show me more. Yeah, what else you got? Yeah, show me some more. Yeah, Joel. What else are you working on, bud?
Investment opportunities, bro. Like, I will sell everything I have to put into whatever you're doing, man. But you know,
it's crazy.
But going back to the hard work thing and what you said, you know, that's one of the things I learned in the SEAL teams was like, hey, we work hard, but we also work smart. And you could be working hard and wasting your time and energy. And just because you're working hard doesn't mean that you're doing the right thing. And so we got to be mindful of, you know, the work that we do. And, you know, and you know, that's one of the things when I got out of the military, I was doing sales at a financial company. And you talk about a rough transition, man. Bro, I grew up doing construction. Mm-hmm. My dad did construction in the SEAL teams. And now I'm put on a suit and tie to sit in traffic to go sit in a cubicle and cold call.
Bro. Oof,
but it's what was needed for me to provide for my family.
Yep.
I'll do anything, man. I've delivered pizzas. You know my story. Seven years ago, man, I was delivering pizzas to make ends meet. And at one time, I was one of the most highly decorated E5s in the SEAL teams. Mm-hmm. And then I get out. I'm doing well in business. I make some good money in the finance world. Make some emotional decisions, start my own thing, get screwed over by, you know, myself for not setting up business documents to protect the friendships and relationships, right? And I thought a handshake meant something, and clearly it doesn't anymore, and put my family in a hard spot. And then all of a sudden I'm freaking delivering pizzas and cleaning out a clogged drain at a Marco's Pizza at 1 a.m. so I can get an extra hour of minimum wage.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude, what am I doing, man? And it was right at the beginning of my opportunity to work with Echelon Front. And it was at that moment that I realized, I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm working hard, but it's not in the right direction. It's not on the right path. And that's when I was fully, I remember that night because I came home and my wife was laying in with our kids and we were in a small 2-bedroom house in Mississippi. We had to downsize and I mean, you know, all 3 kids were in one room and our daughters were on the same bed and my wife was in there with them. We had no kitchen area because we had to use that for storage and an office area. And it was just, you know, which whatever, I know people would love to be in that house and I'm thankful for the house. We had great memories there. You know what I mean? Dude, I love it. And you know, I know people that are living in an apartment listening to this is like, well, that house sounds nice. And I agree. You know what I mean? I've lived in apartments. I've lived in houses. I've lived in nice areas. I've lived in bad areas. You know what I mean? Where my buddies were police officers. They're like, hey, your family's not home, are they? I'm like, no, why? They're like, oh, we're doing a hit on your neighbor's house and we just want to make sure no one's home. And I'm like, oh, cool. Thanks, man. Like, we are moving soon, you know? So I've been on all the spectrums of, you know what I mean? And so, but, you know, I remember going home and seeing her laying on the mattress with the girls and Aiden in the bed sleeping. And I'm like, man, I've got to work hard in the right direction. I've got to use this energy in the right manner. And I've got to get more disciplined and dialed in and focused and think. And I'm tying it back again to what you said about these guys, like creating systems and studying and all that stuff. And I, you know, I've always tried to go back to working really hard, but also being smart with what I'm doing. Like when I was doing sales at a financial company, I would plan out my routes on sales trips. And the, you know, it's funny. It's like that didn't make sense to anybody else. Nobody even thought to do that. And they would just go, "Oh, I'm just going to this appointment, And I would like plan out. I would like put type in because there were some systems that you could pay to do it. And you can also do this on Google Maps. It takes a little bit longer. You just add in all the addresses and see how it's all kind of crazy, and then just move things around to make it to where the route is the shortest. And so I would do that from hotel and then boom, 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 boom. And then that's how I would schedule my appointments based off the route. So there's no wasted time, no wasted gas, no waste, nothing wasted. It was boom, 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 boom. And I would, no kidding, see 10 to 12 clients a day. Dang. And, you know, and I was always honest with them. I'm like, hey, man, I'm coming in early. And the ones that were late, I'm like, hey, I'm staying late for this appointment. I mean, I would go from breakfast meetings to dinner meetings. I had everything lined up. And I would see 10 to 12 prospects per day. And I'd be in that city for 2-3 days, or I'd go to the next city. And I would come back from these work trips with legit contracts in hand, like multiple. And I remember one of the other sales guys is like, how did you come back with so many contracts? I'm like, because this is how many clients I saw. He goes, how? I'm like, how many do you see? He goes, 1 to 2, maybe 3 a day. I'm like, what do you do all day? You know what I mean?
But drive. He's driving.
He's driving day. And hey, let's go have a lunch meeting. And that lunch meeting turns into a 3-hour, you know, we're having some beers and talking, and which is fine. If that's what you're able to do, cool. I wasn't in that.
I'm not either, dude.
I didn't have the ability to. I mean, because I was commission only, bro, and I had some work to do. I didn't have a book of business built up, and but I look back those times and it's like, those were long, hard days, but I had to be tactical with it and strategic.
I was gonna say, there's two things, right? It made you more tactical, more strategic, which you can't erase in your brain. Once you start doing that and finding solutions in that way, it stays there. That becomes part of your character, so that you keep doing that.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened because of that is an appreciation for the now, where you're at now, a lot more because of what you had to do then, whether it was walking in, seeing the mattress, you know, and your family there on and pulling them. One thing you said, excuse me, that you'll do whatever you got to do to feed your family. My dad, I'm the oldest of 7. My dad's on his 3rd wife, wasn't around much around me, excuse me. And the middle children kind of stayed with him. And his daughter now has been with him the whole time. But the whole time, like he knew he wasn't well equipped. He had me when he was 17. He wasn't well equipped for a lot of years to be like this father figure. His dad passed away when he was 12, my grandfather. But the only thing he ever said to us is, do whatever you got to do to feed your family. Like, whatever it is. And for me, that got to a certain point where I was like, okay, we're fed. But now what am I building legacy-wise? Like, what am I doing that way? And that's where my brain started to shift to, let's get tactical. Grab some knowledge. There's people who have done this before. One other mentor I had said, as one man, excuse me, as one man does, so can another. So I'm like, dude, if these guys are doing it, and I consider myself somewhat smart, I think I can learn how to do it. Yeah. The more circles I got in, I would have a conversation with the guys, and I'm like, dude, I'm way smarter than this guy. I can tell just by the conversation I had. And he's crushing.
So
I know I can crush.
Yeah, and then you go to the next circle and you're like, I am the dumbest person here, and I can't wait to learn from all of you guys, right? It's that constant. Right. Bro, how do you think I felt sitting next? I'm like you. I'm like, man, I know I'm not dumb. I know I'm not like super smart. But I'm not dumb. I know that, right? I always did well in school. I did well with all my testing in the military. You know what I mean? Like, I believe, and here's the deal. I believe everybody has the ability to be smart if you put in the time and the work, right? And learning how to learn that the best way for you to retain that information. And I'm sitting next to Joel and I'm like, I've never felt, and I wasn't insecure. This is not like a bad thing, but I'm like, I don't think I've ever felt this way around somebody with how smart they are. And it wasn't an insecurity, but it was a, man, I've got a lot more work to do.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Dude, he's creating a system for schools because he saw the issues with school systems of how they just do the standardized testing and work. He goes, I want to make it easier for teachers so that they can be better at their job to provide better value. And so basically this system is going to make it to where each student has their own personal teacher that follows the guidelines of what they're supposed to be getting done according to the school. He goes, so the teacher's still facilitating the work, but the program learns how each individual student learns and then creates the proper programming for that student to learn how to retain the information.
Dude, what a mind. Why look at that and decide I'm going to fix that?
Because he's a good human, one, which, yeah. Right? But also,
he's got like, a lot of irons in the fire.
Well, like you were talking about, he's wired to solve problems.
Right.
And that's what makes people successful.
Yep. And that's what. And he leans into that.
And he goes all in, right? He goes all in. He had this guy who was trying to get some money to invest. Sorry, apologize.
Yep.
He was working with this investor and the guy was like, you know, and Joel, he was like, hey man, here's the deal. I'm going to die before this does not get where it needs to be. Like I know that I'm capable. My team's capable. I have the resources. This is a very real threat. We have the solution to the problem. Nobody's doing what we're doing at this level. I have the partnerships. I have the relationships. I'm going to die. He goes, if you need me to sign over my insurance as collateral for your investment, I'll do that. You want to talk about being all in? You know what I mean? Like, okay. Yeah,
that's belief. That's 100% belief. Exactly,
that's belief. And without belief, nothing is possible. But with belief alone, nothing is possible. It takes us going out there and getting to work. And that's what I learned in the SEAL teams. That's what you've learned in your business and in life. Yep. It's just like, hey, go out there and work. And Joel has all these great ideas, but he executes on them. Jocko has all these great ideas, and he executes on them. Leif has all these great ideas, and he executes on them. You've had great ideas. You've executed on them, right? Like you and your buddy have these events and these mentorship programs and all these things. Yep. You've executed on them. And so life requires us to go out there and take action. And now, yes, you know, goals and dreams are great, but how are you prioritizing them? That's what causes problems. If you don't have your priorities in place, you're going to be executing on the wrong things. You're going to be wasting energy and time.
I'm incredibly proud of the Blacktop Banner Edition Seal Coating Unit, produced in partnership with KM International and available in both 550 and 700 gallon versions. Custom built on the same frame as our bulletproof hot boxes, I work closely with KM to design what I believe is the best seal coating unit on the market, a unit designed by a contractor for contractors. Learn more about the unit and to see a walkthrough of the entire unit by visiting kminternational.com.
If you're serious about efficiency and performance, listen up. The Craftco SuperShot 125 is not just a melter, it's a strategic pavement maintenance advantage. Quick startups, fume-free, automatic agitator shutoff, a splash-proof lid, and pumping on demand, these features are essential for any serious asphalt maintenance contractor. So don't settle for mediocrity. Elevate your game with the Craftco SuperShot line of melters by visiting craftco.com today.
In my opinion, Dynapac CC900G Roller is the best roller on the market for driveway and small parking lot paving contractors. The seismic technology in these rollers is unbeatable for the smoothness and compaction they provide, and I choose the Dynapac CC900G over the little yellow roller that you're used to seeing every single time. But don't just take my word for it. Check them out in person at Pavex and World of Asphalt, or visit Dynapac.com to find a dealer near you.
Hey, Blacktop Banner fans, this is Michael with Aquafault. Say goodbye to potholes and roadway damage without the need for large crews, heavy equipment, or toxic chemicals. Aquafault is the only permanent repair material for asphalt and concrete that uses water. And installation is simple. Just pour, add water, and tamp. It's that easy. An Aquafault repair can be open to traffic immediately and fully sealed within 24 hours. Plus, the product is backed by a 3-year warranty and made in the USA. Visit aquafault.com. That's AQUAPHALT.com to learn more.
In the past year, Jobber has been our CRM of choice at Wiscote, and it's made our world exponentially better efficiency-wise. The request to quote and quote to invoice process is seamless and professional. The scheduling aspect keeps us on point and the team leaders moving throughout the day from project to project, while the timesheet feature tracks the team members' hours. For our small seal coating company, it has helped build the solid foundation we can scale from. Jobber is now a sponsor of Blacktop Banter and helps bring this show to you. With this partnership, Jobber is offering an exclusive savings to BB listeners of 20% off for 6 months. To take advantage of this, find the Jobber link in the show description and get to improving your process today.
Hi, contractors. It's Kyla from Wiscote. We use Stencil Plus for all of our pavement marking stencils. Alphabet letters, numbers, directional arrows, handicap markings, you name it. We use it and we get it all from Stencil Plus. Right now, for a limited time, you can save 10% on your stencil order by using code BB10 during checkout at stencilplus.com or by calling 877-372-6055.
Contractors, you need to make it easy for potential customers to reach you. Get a custom phone number from the 800 Pavement Network and plaster it on the side of your trucks and rigs, and I guarantee you'll see increases in leads and jobs booked. Get yours by calling 1-800-728-3636.
World of Asphalt is the leading asphalt trade show and conference, and it will be taking place on March 25th through the 27th, 2024, in Nashville, Tennessee. From mainline to maintenance, the show will be your one-stop shop to see everything the asphalt industry has to offer. Registration is now open, and listeners can save 20% off registration with the code BB20 when they register on worldofasphalt.com. Let's lean into it a little bit there, because that's a good transition. When you all were at Dirt World Summit, and I was hearing your whole you guys crushed that day, right? And I could tell, like, that for me, the relaying and how you all, not necessarily compare, but how you align your team's experience in the military with business was really unique for me, because there's a leadership chain that you guys are like, dude, this is how it has to go. Like, if there's a problem here, you don't take it to the CEO. Like, it goes here first, right? So that we can all act efficiently. So I want to lean into that a little bit. Real quick, give us a background of what Echelon Front does. And then how does the experiences you guys all had in the military apply on the business side?
Yeah, so Echelon Front is a leadership consultancy company that Jocko Willink, Leif Babin started in 2012. They wrote Extreme Ownership, How U.S. Navy SEALs Lead and Win, in 2015. I came on board the company in 2016 as a first leadership instructor, and then we've been growing and expanding, and now I'm our chief training officer. So I'm in charge of all of our hands-on scenario-based leadership training, which is awesome. And we have a lot of different programs that we run at Echelon Front, but the biggest thing is for us to share the lessons that we learned in combat and in training, and be able to communicate them and share them with clients, so that you can take those principles and apply them to your personal and professional lives as well. And that's what we do. and the thing that we do is very simple. We have 4 laws of combat and 5 mindsets of victory that we teach, you know, and it's very simple. This is what we taught in the SEAL teams. This is what we teach to companies. And these principles, if applied, can help you solve any problem that you have in your life, personally or professionally. Doesn't matter what's going on, you can go out there and you can execute at a high level and start solving problems. But here's the thing, you have to be intentional about assessing your capabilities, because desire and capabilities are two different things.
Correct.
two different things completely. And so you have to be honest with your capability. You have to be honest with what's actually happening in front of you so that you can go out there and you execute and get the work done. And so, that, you know, how we do that Echelon Front is by presenting the information that we teach of just in a very basic format of like, hey guys, this is where this came from. Here's how we lead. Here's the principles that we use. And, you know, we come and do keynotes at different companies' events or, you know, we do half day workshops, full day workshops, and we can also customize all of our keynotes. Like Jocko's kind of gotten away from this and so has Leif. They're more strategic, obviously, with what we have going on right now. But it's cool because I'll use the base of what we teach in my life experience in the SEAL teams, and I create custom trainings all the time for customers. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to be, BuildWit is hiring me to come to one of their events in June at a training center to give a custom half-day workshop on how to create training programs within your organization.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang,
yeah.
Dude.
And so, that's what we do is honestly, we share what we've done and what's been effective in the SEAL teams and in the military and tie it to business. And when we're working with a client, we sit down and we learn about their company and then find ways to connect the dots between the leadership principles. We don't come in here and say, hey, you need to change up this system and use this tool now instead of this tool. And hey, if you cut down here, you're going to reduce, you know, waste by X amount. We don't do that. Mm-hmm. Because here's the deal. Who knows your business better than anybody else?
Yeah, that's true.
You're men and women. And mm-hmm. So if we're now giving you guys tools to lead and communicate better and think strategically, who's gonna come up with better solutions on reducing waste? Yeah. An outside company or you?
Yeah.
It's gonna be you all day long. And driving ownership down to your people and teaching your people how to think, not just what to think, but teaching your people how to think.
Is that like the core common issue that you guys see,
yes,
JP, with like with everybody, yep, like you guys consult with and do, like that issue, right, of how to think? It's a culture thing, essentially, right? It starts at the top and works its way down. How do we as businesses, if you have a problem with how your organization thinks, what are some tactics like to start trending in that direction of like, right, we got to be open to this. We have to start changing.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is you have to give your men and women permission to lead. And most leaders make the mistake of thinking, well, my people know I need them to lead. My people know that I need them to step up and solve problems and do all these things. That's a good assumption. The reality is you probably have a lot of people that are just, they're fine with just doing exactly what you tell them to do. Yeah. You guys have a really good working relationship. They like you. They respect you. And, if you ask them to go do something and say, hey, Cody, I need you to go set up this classroom like this. I need all the notebooks faced this way. I need the pens on the right. I need that little clippy thing rolled out to the right-hand side. And here's all the things I need you to do. And Cody and I have a really good relationship, and I pay him well, and he's happy, and we have a good work environment. Guess what he's going to go do? He's going to go do exactly what I asked him to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to go do that.
Yep.
But what happens if he goes into the classroom and it's not set up the way it's supposed to be? The tables aren't set up the way they're supposed to be. And now they have round tables instead of classroom tables and all these things. Guess who he's going to call right away? Me.
You.
And he's going to be like, yep, hey, JP, the classroom tables aren't the way that you wanted me, aren't the way that you said they're going to be set up in here.
Yeah, what do I do
and
now?
It's not because he can't think. It's he doesn't want to upset me. Yeah. He doesn't want to do it the wrong way because, again, we have a good relationship. Most people have decent relationships with their people at work. I mean, the toxic work environment is real. That's a rarity, to be real. Like, that's a rarity. And there's a whole other bag of worms that we can open up the next time we record if you want on changing the toxic work environment. Because let's be real, the toxic work environment is more common in the construction industry than most other industries that we're
absolutely with. A million percent.
And so if you'd like to schedule another one and just
focus
on that, I'd be honored to do that with you, man.
Cool.
And learn from you as well for what you've done and how you've worked out of some of those situations. But going back to Cody in the classroom, he's going to call me and I'm going to be like, well, all right, hey, let's make sure there's just, you know, and I'm going to walk through it and he's going to go get it done. Instead, the best environment is where I say, hey, Cody, hey, we have the training later today, and the client's going to be there starting at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
Hey, by 12:30, could you have the classroom set up and just make sure each seat has a notebook, a pen, and a can of Discipline Go ready to go. And the reason why we need to have a notebook and a pen is we want to make sure, I'm going to actually talk about the importance of taking notes in training and having notebooks and using it as a tool and a resource. And also, we're coming back from lunch. These guys have had a long day, and I want to make sure they have a little bit of caffeine in front of them if they want to. I don't care how you set it up. Just make sure it looks clean and organized like you always do. And, is that something that you're able to get done in that time frame? And Cody's like, yeah, cool. Hey, this, and I'm like, cool. Well, let me know how you want to get it done, and if there's anything I need to do to help support it, right? So I gave him the what and the why. And then I also said, let me know how you want to go get that done and what I can do to support you. And then Cody's like, well, no, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to grab a stack of notebooks and pens. I'm going to bring the cooler in there behind me, and I'm just going to put one at each seat, and I'm going to randomly put the Discipline Goes out there to where it has like, uniformity, and I'll have the goes all facing a certain way for picture purposes for social media. And I'm like, man, I like that idea, Cody. Good job.
Yeah. What do you do though, JP? You as the person, right? You're the guy who gave this person their task, mm-hmm. and they do it, and they come in, and there is something that you see, right, that's off, or something is off overall. What do we do with that?
So then I recognize I didn't train that person properly ahead of time, and I didn't get clarification and alignment on what they were doing and why and how. And so I say, hey, Cody, real quick.
When do you say this to him?
Like as soon as I see it.
Okay, cool.
Obviously not in front of a large group. I don't want to embarrass them or humiliate them.
Yep.
Sorry, man. But as soon as I have that opportunity, I'm saying, hey, Cody, I just want to talk about a few things. One, dude, thanks for getting all this stuff done, man. I know you've been working really hard. Hey, I have a few questions. When you and I talked about setting up the room, you said you were going to set it up this way. It's not set up this way. To be honest, it's not a major issue. I just want to have some clarification as to why you did it this way so that I have alignment to better support you. I'm taking ownership. I'm putting it back on me. And I know someone's listening. You're like, well, yeah, okay, you're talking about a classroom, but in construction, I deal with some serious stuff.
It could be anything. Job site. Dude, it could be job site, the way the truck is set up so that we're more efficient.
Set up trucks where they're clean and organized, and so where you can have gear accountability, and you can look back there and say, all right, cool, I have all my tools. And someone's like, well, what does that matter? Well, time is money, baby. And if I can look and count and organize and have a quick inventory, if it takes me 15 minutes to get an inventory instead of 45 minutes, That's a good thing, right? And so I want to teach my people why these things are important. It always comes back to the why, bud. Yeah. And again, if my guy's not doing it the right way, who trained him? Me.
Yeah.
And I know someone's like, well, I don't train my guys. Okay. Why do you not know what's being trained? It's your team. It's your responsibility. Yeah. And again, this isn't micromanaging. It's managing the expectations that your team is supposed to have. And so being able to go in there and just have a good conversation, to have alignment with your people, is the best thing possible. Again, the ultimate thing is the more ownership you can drive to your people, the more strategic you can be by thinking and growing the business and doing what only you can do. Mm. And your people do what they're really good at.
You know, I've been fortunate enough to start to get to know your team somewhat and follow along with everything at Echelon Front. I had Jamie on the podcast a little bit ago. And one thing I noticed, she really talked about applying what she has learned and taken from being around you all and being at Echelon Front for as long as she has, and putting it into her home life, her personal side too, as well, and running it the way that she would there. You all, there's a good amount of numbers on your team where you all have outside endeavors, right? One of those that I mentioned to you earlier, we ordered some stuff from Little Cattle Co. Yeah. So there's experience where not only are you like, hey, yeah, we this is the way we operated in the military, and now we're applying it to business, but we're also applying it ourselves to our businesses and things that we're involved in. So I would love for you to kind of round out the conversation today with some general advice that you've learned through your experiences being partners in different things, that you know our top, you know, is a topic that most business owners encounter, and like that, there needs to be a shift, whether it's in practice, whether it's in mindset or whatever, to help them start trending in the right direction. Because honestly, there's the reason why there, a major reason why there was 700, 800 people when we were down in Houston for Dirt World Summit, is because they have issues that they're looking to get solved, right? What would some general advice be where people are like, dude, I got problems, I'm bleeding out here, what do I do?
Yeah, step back, detach from your emotions, and look at your current environment from a logical standpoint. And this could be your relationship with your spouse, significant other, kids, community, boss, peers, employees, it doesn't matter. You can step back and you can ask yourself, am I winning? It's a simple yes or no. Am I winning? And if you can say yes, then you ask yourself, all right, what's causing me to win so I can duplicate and replicate that and that be my baseline? Am I losing? How do I fix it? What's causing me to lose? Is it my emotions? Is it my communication? Am I not building enough relationships? Am I not understanding what the top priorities are? Am I trying to do too much at once? Am I micromanaging my team? Am I too hands off? And my team is doing whatever the hell they want and I have no idea what's going on. Am I not getting a read back? Do I not have alignment with my people? Like, you have to step back and ask yourself, what's going on?
I like it.
Yeah.
I think that that's best. That's your baseline, right? That's your starting point, especially if you're not executing. My friend, where can we find more information on Echelon Front? And then where can we follow JP Donnell? Because I've been following you, your Instagram as of late.
Yeah.
And dude, I love it. I love the bits from the podcast. I listened to the one recently that you put out. I'd love for you to plug your podcast too. I think it's great because the one where you started out with the restaurant scene.
Oh yeah.
As of late,
episode 13.
Yep. I was thinking about the same thing. Thinking about my boy, my daughter, where they move when I'm around, and we have those similar conversations. But I don't review it obviously the way that you do because we have different backgrounds, experiences, and come up. But the worry is still the same.
Oh.
Right? Like absolutely a hundred million percent. Yeah. When I get home and I'll ask like, hey, where's Liz? And my wife's like, oh, she's with so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, but where are they?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, I know she's with her, but where are they right now? Mm-hmm. Like my brain goes there every single time.
And
where can we follow along with you on the podcast?
No, well, thank you. Yeah. So the podcast is just the JP Donnell podcast or JP Donnell podcast. It's iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube. My Instagram is JP Donnell, so it's just JPDINNELL. So it's like dinner, but with two L's at the end. There's some fake ones out there because, you know, there's scumbags out there that make them look very similar. Yep. I don't ever ask people to invest into anything on Instagram, so just be aware of that. I do occasional fundraising for ministries and friends, charities that they have, but that'll be a personal video message that we actually talk about. So it's crazy that I even have to put that out now.
I know.
And it makes me mad because I'd love to hunt those scumbags down that screw people over and steal money from them.
Oh, yeah.
It frustrates me, man.
I got a friend, Randy Couture.
Yeah.
You know Randy Couture. Oh, yeah. He just had that happen to him. He had hackers get his account on Instagram. Immediately, I started getting messages, so I texted him. I'm like, dude, why are you creating a group where we can come meet you and everything else? It's not me.
Dude, that's...
And it literally did the same thing.
That's insane, man. You want to hear something messed up is this happened to somebody. I knew this guy. I know of him. But he was like best friends with one of my other common buddies in San Diego that I'm really good friends with. And my buddy was heartbroken. Somebody hacked into this dude's account and posted on behalf of his family that he had passed away.
Oh my gosh, bro.
So for 48 hours, his family was being told that he had passed away. And literally his family thought he was freaking dead, bro.
They have no souls. They have zero soul.
I'm just going to filter my thoughts and not say them out loud. But yeah, I mean, dude, and how, you know, it just shows that there's evil in the world And that's why we need good people, man. We need good humans. We need good leaders. We need people like you and your friends that are putting on events to help teach people how to lead and how to do their job better and be more efficient and more effective and just be a good human, man.
What, I appreciate
like,
that.
Like, do the right thing. Nothing bad comes from doing the right thing. You know what we say at Echelon Front? Do the right things for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's that simple, that.
Man. So, yeah, on Instagram, I think on LinkedIn is JP Denell. I don't know, dude.
It's JP Denell.
Yeah, I don't use LinkedIn as much as I should. For me, just for what I do, it's not a platform I engage on much. But I'm on there for sure. But big on Instagram, just for my lifestyle and what we do at Echelon Front, and then also YouTube with the podcast more regularly.
Yeah, echelonfront.com. We can go to.
Yep, echelonfront.com. Cool. And then, if you want to get some good Texas beef, littlecattle.co. So our company is Little Cattle Co. You tried some, right?
I tried some, dude. I tried the top sirloin.
Ooh.
And then we had the Denver steak.
Yes.
Two completely different cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, like, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
But when I ate them, I was like, Dad, these are two completely different cuts. We could use them for completely different things. We still got the burger to eat, and then I ordered the bone.
Nice.
I love the bone marrow. Yeah, bake it.
Yeah.
Scoop that stuff out.
Yeah.
Rice pilaf.
Dude, the ground beef is unreal.
We're about to have that.
Because we actually have a ground beef subscription out right now. So it's pretty cool, which you can get 10, 15, or 20 pounds a month, and you get it at a discount, right? And every month it's shipping too. You don't even have to think about it. But, you know, because we know a lot of people eat ground beef, and it's good for you, and it's easy to meal prep.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but so if you go to like a big store or any type of store and get ground beef, it's going to have a couple hundred, if up to 1,000 different steers that meat all comes from when they slaughter, right? Because at these big slaughterhouses, they're slaughtering all these steers and then they take all the scraps and that's what the ground beef comes from.
Mm.
When we slaughter our steers, the ground beef that you get literally came from the chuck roast and the trimmings of that one steer. You can taste the difference.
Dude, in that top sirloin, we could definitely, I told my son, and he ate it, he's like, where'd this come from? I was like, dude, he was eating it, right? He was cutting with a butter knife, and he was like, he was like, this is good, where do you get this from?
Yeah.
I was like, Texas, like, we had to have it shipped up here, dude. And he's like, oh, can we get some more of that? I'm like, I'm pretty sure we can get some more of it.
Go.
So it's very good. It's cool to see you guys doing your thing.
Thank you for that support, man. That means a lot.
Absolutely.
This is what I've literally heard from everybody that's tried the beef. They're like, it was unreal. And I'm like, yep. Because the other way, the last little note before we close it off is, it's the difference in, again, going back to doing the right things for the right reasons.
Yeah.
My best friend, who it's his company I partner with, Stephen Little, his uncle is also our partner on the ranching side. And he's been doing this for over 30 years. And how they ranch and cowboy the steers is off of horseback. So they don't use trucks or ATVs or anything. So the animals aren't stressed out. That's what you taste the difference.
It makes a difference. I know, dude. I've heard that.
They're out, dude. That beef that you ate was out literally free roaming in a pasture in Texas, bro. Just living its best life.
Dude, it makes me wonder what the texture of my meat is like. Dude, it's got to be tighter. It's got to be all gristle.
Bro,
dude,
I know.
The stress that I'm in.
You talking about the stress and the hormones that gets released in the body? Yeah. My shit might kill you, man.
You couldn't even swallow mine, dude. You couldn't cut it with a knife, probably.
Well, dude.
JP, thanks for joining me, man.
Thank you, sir.
Real quick, I'm going to sign off here for us. As always, you can check out blacktopbanner.com. Our Blacktop Banner Success Group is there. It's a group of contractors who get together. We mastermind. We get together. We talk about a lot of things JP and I talked about today. That's at blacktopbanner.com. When you go to blacktopbanner.com, sign up for our newsletter. Please go to missionimpact.com, which is a nonprofit that I support down in Guatemala. We build fuel-efficient stoves, clean water, and custom wheelchairs for people who can't get around the rugged terrain in that area. Please hop over to missionimpact.com if you like giving and give. And as always, you can find Blacktop Banner online at Blacktop Banter everywhere where you're on social media. JP, next time me and you are going to talk a little blacktop. We're going to talk about a lot of other different things that we went over in this one. Here at Blacktop Banner, as always, we speak asphalt. Peace. Hey, everybody. Marvin here from Blacktop Banter. And if you enjoy the podcast and what we've been bringing to the industry, you can support us through a one-time or recurring donation at blacktopbanter.com. There we have a support tab. You click that and choose your path from there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do us a favor and leave a review there for us as well. As always, we speak asphalt, and thanks for your support.
This episode of Blacktop Banter is brought to you by Craftco, the world's leading manufacturer of packaged pavement preservation materials and equipment for the asphalt industry. Learn more at craftco.com.